And good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your day. We got a big show here on 102.5, The Game, as Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier with you. And I just realized I can't send a tweet and talk. Like, it's just not – it's impossible for me to do. That's what I was trying to accomplish there. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chase. I'm right there with you. Doing multitasking with Twitter and other things, it's not possible.
I can't walk and chew gum. I'm just not good at it. But, you know, that's where we're at. Big show today. Robbie's going to join us at 9:30 to talk about some different things. But with the Titans and all that going on. And then at 10:30, I'm really excited about this. Most of you know him from Smashing Pumpkins. But he also owns a wrestling company that's going to be in town this weekend, the NWA. Billy Corgan going to join the show. So really looking forward to that. So he'll join us at 10:30. But I was thinking last night, you know, all right, what all do I want to talk about? Okay, we're going to talk about the Titans scrimmage. We're going to talk about the kicking carousel and Mike Vrabel being pissy about it. And we'll talk about, you know, should starters play in the preseason? Well, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, there's all these things that certainly will come up. But I decided that I'm going to start with something that I want to talk about. And I think there are a lot of you that care about this. And then there are some of you that don't. And I have to accept that. But I'm going to start with the Braves, because my Atlanta Braves are kicking butt right now. 81 wins. They beat the lowly Mets. Sorry, Willie, but not sorry. Last night, and I think he went Monday, which the Mets won. Or it was going last night, but I think it was Monday that he went. We'll ask him about it later. But anyway, 81 wins for the Braves to this point. Statistically, this lineup is just ridiculous right now. They lead the AL East. They have a 12.5 game lead over the Phillies in the NL East. I think I just said AL, NL East. And so they got that. They feel good about that with that lead. And the sky is the limit. I mean, this team, you know, the lineup, I mean, is probably the best one that they have, is the best one that they've ever had. And, you know, I had to have to go look statistically. But the crazy part is, like, last night, you had guys like Marcell Ozuna and Eddie Rosario that are the heroes, and this was Eddie Rosario last night.
But a righty on the mound tonight, so the left-handed stick of Eddie is in there tonight. And he mangles this thing. High in the air, back to the wall. It is 2-0 Atlanta.
There you go. 2-0 Atlanta, and then Ozuna adds one. They win last night. 3-2 over the Mets to just keep rolling. And I was glad to see Bryce Elder, you know, get the win. He's been good, but, you know, that, like, I saw him in Chicago and it wasn't very good. And so there's been times where he's been up and down. And that's been my biggest worry, is just the pitching. You know, can they sustain, you know, can the pitching sustain everything, you know, and go on a deep run? And I feel like they can, especially when you're getting the run support from that lineup. I mean, they're fun to watch. I know you're a Cards fan, and it's not fun to watch. But
no, you know, I watched the Cardinals game last night, and I think it was through four innings was Wainwright had a no-no going. And I was like, you know, this can't last forever. And then I ended up switching to Bally Sport. I was like, whoa, the Braves. This is going to be a fun game to watch. And sure enough, home run galore.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Brian Snitker, the manager, gave his thoughts on Eddie Rosario last night.
Well, anybody, you know what, when you're swinging the bat good, everybody's got confidence. It's not easy. This isn't an easy game. You're not doing good. You know, when things aren't going your way, it's not a fun game to play. But when you're going good and you're locked in, it's kind of rejuvenates you, I think.
That was Brian Snitker last night after the win, and Eddie Rosario. So, I mean, Eddie Rosario was one of those trade deadline guys in 2021 that nobody thought anything about, and then he ends up helping the Braves win the World Series that year, and he continues to be an integral part of their lineup. But it's just fun to be a Braves fan right now. It really is. I mean, it just, even though, like, they won it 2 years ago, and that was awesome. I mean, that run, that whole run was fun, and, you know, I was glad now looking back at it, it means even more that, you know, Freddie was a part of it, Dansby was a part of it, with them both being gone. But the biggest thing for me has been as they went through the rebuild and then got to this point where they're competing for championships, was like the 90s were so much fun, but they only had one title to show for it. You know, they get there, but then they only would win one title. And so my thing has been, I want to see them win more than one. I want this to actually be a legitimate run where they come out with at least two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you get a little taste of blood and you want more, exactly. And especially, I'm not a Braves fan, but I assume Braves fans across the nation are probably thinking, well, now that they have a healthy Ronald Acuna, it'd be nice to see him win a World Series being healthy.
Yeah, so. Yeah, right, and that'd be a part of it. See, Robert is one. He goes, you're right. Nobody cares about the Braves or baseball, for that matter. That's not true, Robert. You don't.
Robert's incorrect.
That's fine. You don't have to care. But, I mean, like, look, you know, inside baseball is, and Ricky's going to laugh because that's his favorite thing that I say. It, you know, we sit here and we talk Titans and training camp and backup quarterbacks and kickers and running backs and receivers and DBs and all this stuff. And that we do that because that's what people care about, because the Titans reign supreme, the NFL reigns supreme. And I love that. Like, I love the Titans and talking about them, but you know, got to change it up every now and then, because otherwise I'm going to go insane. I'm ready for the regular season. I'm so freaking tired of, like, we're about to do a segment on the damn kicker. You know why we're going to do a segment on the damn kicker? Because they can't figure out the damn kicker. That's why. And see, I get fired up, you know? But it gets exhausting. And not only can they not figure out the kicker, but Vrabel wants to get pissy about it because, you know, he can't apparently figure it out. But then they have this arrogance that they're so great on special teams when they're really not. So that's where we're at.
I just have to tell you this. It's too much of this high blood pressure going on right now early in the morning. We don't need that. We just don't need that.
No, we don't. now John says, slap them down, Chase. Would love more Braves talk. Well, you're going to get – I'm going to warn everybody right now. If they when the playoffs start and they go on this run, you're going to hear a lot of it. We're going to be chopping every day here on the Chase McCabe Show. I mean, that's my team. That's my team since I was like 3 years old. So, you know, I'm going to enjoy this.
As you should.
And see, then my team, you know, because I've always wondered this, because, you know, I hated the Yankees because what did they do in the night? I mean, they won. The reason the Braves didn't win in the late 90s was because of the Yankees. They were such a buzzsaw with Joe Torre and, you know, Jeter and that whole crew. And so I hated them because they won all the time. And like the Dodgers, even though they've spent all the money, but they haven't won. Yeah, you know, except in 2020 when it was a shortened season, just throwing that out there. But, you know, it's like I hate those teams. So what's it going to be like for me when my team becomes that team and everybody hates them?
I wouldn't say that they would be hated. I would say that people just have a different perspective on them. I wouldn't say they'd be hated on. I'd just be a different perspective.
Could be for sure. Okay, there we go. I got that out of the way. I feel good. I feel really good, actually. We'll talk to Robbie here in a few minutes and get his take on things going on with the Titans. And coming up next, we will get into the kicking situation and the kicking circus with the Tennessee Titans and what the hell is going on with them. Mike Vrabel, again, you know, getting testy, if you want to put it that way. You can weigh in 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com Titans training camp presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, Caudill Vet Clinic, and the New Cumberland Development here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What was it about him that on the tape that made you want to bring him in?
We'd had Michael here before, and you know, he's got the next crack at it. I'm sure we'll look at other ones too.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday. On the kicker, on Michael Badgley, as they have signed him, and quite honestly, he sucked in practice yesterday. He wasn't very good when he was here before in the one game, and he's been a journeyman in his career since starting his career with the Chargers. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063. The game, 615-737-1025 is our phone line. Now we got another texter that, you know, doesn't like me. He wants to say I'm boring and, like, texts in, and then when I reply, he doesn't reply. No one cares about the Braves. I'd rather hear you discuss your bleepy wrestling. Yeah, well, we're going to hear that at 10:30 with Billy Corgan. That's fine. But yet you listen, and I appreciate that. So thank you so much. Robert says, agreed, ready for the regular season and for Vrabel to figure out how to get a kicker that can consistently make a 40-yard field goal. It's not even about it. I mean, you're right, Robert. It's not even about the 40-yard field goal, because that's what Aukerman, you know, is like, yeah, our sweet spot is, you know, 40 to 45 or, you know, 45 to 50, somewhere in there. In today's NFL, you got to hit beyond 52. Like, they don't even seem to care about that one iota. Like, that they don't understand that you got to be able to hit beyond 50 yards. And they're worried about the 40-yard stuff, which, okay, absolutely. But, I mean, it's like they just want to ignore, you know, they're living in yesterday's NFL. Like, here's Michael Badgley. In his career, 40 to 49, he's 36 of 47. All right, not great. Beyond 50, 5 of 13.
That's not good.
That's terrible.
That's concerning.
That's absolutely terrible. I mean, overall, he's an 81.7% kicker. Not great. Not great in today's NFL.
Those stats are skewed, in my opinion. We need the longer ones. We need the longer, the better. I think the Titans need to look at the longer, the better for kickers, rather than the shorter the distance, the better. You need to go the opposite.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Let's see. More texts. I know people that'll like this one. Texter says, Chase, can we talk about the real team of Tennessee, the Cincinnati Reds? Thanks, Brandon in Clarksville. Yeah, listen, I have a lot of friends that are Reds fans. Ricky's one. Ryan Porthorold, PD is one. And I know a few others. And I like the Reds too. Like, going to Reds games is fun. That was kind of my dad's team. So I got a soft spot for the Reds, but they are not Tennessee's team. They just aren't.
No.
I would love to see Braves and Reds in an NLCS. Braves and six. But, you know, that isn't going to happen this year. LD from McMinnville. Chaser, I listen and love the Bravos and talking about them. Also would love to hear you discuss NASCAR. Used to host a NASCAR show, LD. Don't anymore. But you'll hear some NASCAR, you know, when it's relevant, for sure. That definitely happens on this show. Liam, Money Badger, great nickname, worth less every day than the cash in my wallet. Look, I think I agree with Jared on this. I heard Jared's whole theory. But first, okay, before I get to that, first, here was Vrabel when he was asked about why they released both kickers.
What all was your type decision to change out kickers?
Just trying to find somebody that can help us.
There you go. And he's already – and if you listen to the whole press conference, this was definitely on the Vrabel being pissy list, I mean, or scale, the Vrabel pissiness scale, that's what we'll call it. He was probably at about an 8 or a 9. And look, I think a lot of that was – he was obviously upset for Caleb Farley. The news coming out after our show, you know, we told you about – Caleb Farley's house that he owns in North Carolina exploded. His father was killed. And so, you know, obviously thoughts and prayers with him, and the team was thinking about him. And so I do think that Vrabel, his head was elsewhere, and I totally understand that. But you could tell he didn't want to talk about kicker because he knows it's an issue. But the problem is it's their fault. It's their fault that it's an issue. And it's like there has been this – arrogance that they're going to figure it out and that we don't need to worry about it because they're going to figure it out. And they really, really haven't figured it out in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, going back to Succop, they had Ryan Succop, who was steady Eddie, and then he got hurt, and then they rushed him back, and then they end up moving on from him, and it's been a carousel ever since. Like, I probably can't sit here and name every kicker that they've had in the last few years. And then they bring in two unproven guys to compete for the job, and they're like, yep, we got it all figured out, and then they cut them both. And that's where they're at. And then they're going to bring back a guy that they know that sucks. Now, I agree with Jared that I think he's coming in just to kick, you know, this week, because Vrabel kind of alluded to it that we'll probably try some other guys out too. I'm telling you, I think they're trying to play this cheaply, and they're going to get through week one with whatever jabroni that they throw out there. And then that's when you might see a Robbie Gold or a Mason Crosby or even a Randy Bullock, you know, that they bring in a veteran, a guy that, you know, and look, Bullock's wasn't the best, but he was still like an 85% kicker. But beyond 50, you know, you worry. But you bring in somebody after week one. But again, this is, you know, I see teams and there's three or four guys that, you know, are in competitions in other camps, so they could be released and maybe they're claimed. But it's just, I just don't feel like they put an emphasis on that position. And, you know, you may like joke and go, why are we talking about the kicker? Well, we're talking about the kicker because we have to, because they don't seem to want to.
I have to ask you, Chase, if you had to choose between, statistically, if you had to choose between a kicker that can make any sort of 3-point chip shot from the 5-yard line all the way to the 35-yard line, would you take that over a kicker that's going to make a 45 to a 55 yarder on a regular basis?
So you're basically asking me, would I want automatic Al, which was like Al Del Greco, that, you know, no, I mean, I want the guy that's going to hit the home run ball, because that's what matters in today's NFL. The chip shot, like, it's an expectation for you to hit the chip shot. Like, that shouldn't even be a discussion anymore. Like, every kicker in the National Football League, like, if it's 35 and up, or 35 and lower, I should say, you should be able to hit that no problem. Like, that shouldn't even be a discussion. And really, really, like, 42 and higher is probably where it should be. It's the long ball. Like, they got to be able to do that, because how many games have come down to there's 3 seconds on the clock, field goal wins it for you, but you got to hit like a 52, 53 yarder. Like that's where the NFL is at today. And if you don't have a guy that can do that, you're not going to win. You're not going to win those games. You're going to be forced to throw the Hail Mary. And I don't want to see the Titans in that position. And right now they're in that position.
Yeah, especially with their wide receiver woes as well, with these injuries. Like, if those keep adding up, where's their situational game going? Down the tube.
Yeah.
They won't be able to throw the ball to the sideline when it's 8 seconds left to get within a 45-yarder, just within range.
Right. This was Vrabel when he was asked if he factored in bringing in a new kicker and having to get used to the holder and the snapper and all that stuff.
Do you factor in a new kicker getting used to snapper, holder on his first day into the misses, or he need to be better out of the game?
We any kicker that we bring in or that we have on a team just needs to make them.
Just need to make them. Okay, well, why don't you go find somebody that can do that? Why don't you actually invest a little time that can do that and stop being that, oh, we'll figure it out? Because it's been a concern of mine since training camp opened. It's been a concern of mine the entire offseason that they were going to screw this up. And guess what? They've screwed it up. Michael Badgley. That's your answer right now. Michael Badgley. My goodness. That's where we're at, Nick.
Like I've said before on the show already, I can warm up the leg. I say this in a joking way, but also I'm willing to offer. I can kick some 40-yarders. I've done it once before. I can do it again.
You know what? We'll line up everybody here at Cromwell Media out in the back. We got a good spot to do it, and we'll see if we can help them out.
Okay.
You know? See what we can do.
I'm all about it. I mean, as long as we have somebody with a placeholder, maybe Derek could hold the ball for me. Maybe that's what we need. Well, when Derek gets here, we'll ask him.
Our text line blowing up right now. I'm fired up today. Robert says, totally agree. I wish we could find a kicker that can make it from 50-plus, but I'll take anything at this moment that's consistently hitting from 40 to 50 yards. LOL, it's so tiring. Robert, I agree with you, man. I mean, show me consistency. But that's what I would do. Bradford says, maybe they think if everybody follows the plan and plays well, then they won't ever have to come down to kicker, but better to be safe than a missed field goal. Look, I get that, and in a perfect world, you don't want to have to rely on a field goal kicker, but it's a part of the game. And if it's a part of the game, you have to address it, and you have to understand that it's a part of the game. Just annoys me. JD, is there a good kicker in the XFL we can go get? I have no idea. Did they kick in the XFL?
They did, but it wasn't really a league for kickers. They went for 3-point conversions, 2-point conversions, and a 1-point conversion. So technically, no, not really.
Josh, would you take Suck Up back? Honestly, at this point, probably not. I've asked around on him. I mean, one thing is he doesn't do kickoffs anymore, and they're going to have somebody that does kickoffs. Because that's important, because Stonehouse doesn't. You know, sometimes the punter will do kickoffs. Stonehouse doesn't do kickoffs. So that, you know, that's interesting. And he wasn't very good last year. He was pretty inconsistent. And here's the other thing. And Josh, I know why you're asking the question. It's a fair question. But I am sick and tired of Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans going back to people that they know and doing this whole retread thing. And I love Ryan Succop. This is nothing against Ryan Succop, but it's just stop going back to the well. There are other players out there that maybe you don't know, and it's okay. Michael Badgley's another one. He's another guy that's been here before. Let's try something new. All right, we'll bring in Robbie Stanley, get his thoughts on this, because, yes, I'm fired up today. And keep the texts coming. I'm enjoying these. 615-737-1025. It's Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe hanging out with you on this Wednesday. Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins. Talking wrestling, though, as he owns the NWA now, which is coming to our city this week. He will join us at 10:30 today. But right now, we say hello to Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rex Road, mornings from 6 to 9. Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And Robbie, I'm glad you're here, because I'm a little fired up this morning. It was almost like a Rex rant, but talking about kickers. What's going on?
Yeah, I feel like this has been a little bit of like a therapeutic session for you this morning, Chase. I'm glad we're able to talk this all out today.
I mean, do you agree with me, though, that it feels like the Titans, they want to say that they've addressed it, and they had a competition in camp with two guys that they've now both cut. But then they come across as a little arrogant when it comes to really special teams in general, not just kicking, and yet they can't seem to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, it's been a problem now, I mean, almost for the entirety of Vrabel's tenure. I mean, when you really think about it, it's been, you know, finding a kicker that's reliable has been a huge problem. Like, they brought in Steven Goskowski, and I thought he was fine. You know, Randy Bullock was okay, but you know, you got anything basically beyond 48 yards and you just never really felt like you had a great shot to make a kick, to the point where the Titans, when it was beyond 50, very rarely did they even attempt it. So like, I go back to the decision to move on from Ryan Succop when they did. It felt like they brought him back from injury too soon, and then they moved on from him, and they've not been able to figure it out really ever since then. Like, if you would have just been a little bit more patient with Ryan Succop, he would have been your kicker the last 4 years, and you wouldn't be going through all these things. And you know, I know he's older now, and maybe he's not the best option as we sit here today, but it's just been one constant churning at the kicker position after another. And I sit here today, Chase, and I look at their options, and, you know, Badgley came in yesterday and was horrendous. You look at the options that are still out there. Mason Crosby's 38 years old. Robbie Gould's 40 years old. You know, Suckup's 36. And then you look around the rest of the league right now, like there's not a ton of good kickers. So it feels like this is going to end up being a big problem for them this year, and maybe ended up costing them a game or two in a division where they can't afford that to happen. Like, it's going to be a tight race with them in Jacksonville. And it would be a real shame if at the end of the day, the difference in the Titans winning the division and making the playoffs and not comes down to a field goal kicker. And at this point, I think it might, based on the way that they've handled it.
Yeah, I mean, that, and that's my whole thing. Like, I go back to the Giants game last year that they were in, and, you know, that was just the overall game plan, that they were trying to get it to the hash mark that was best for Randy Bullock, but not working on field position, and then they put him in a position to kick a long kick, and he missed it, and they lose the game. And like you just said, in a close division with a team that I think has a schedule that could allow them to be in, you know, contention to win the division, maybe not the wild card, that's a playoff spot. And it just, it doesn't feel like it's important, and that's what, that drives me nuts. Do you think that Badgley is just for this week and they're gonna bring somebody else in to kick for the regular season?
Yes. If he has another day like he did yesterday, I don't know how you keep him, right? Like,
yeah,
as bad as he was yesterday, Shudak and Wolf were never that bad. So if you have another day like that, and I'll be honest with you, it kind of really bothered me, Michael Badgley's answers to the questions yesterday. Oh, well, it's just practice. Like, I'm not going to sit here and freak out over a practice. Like, no, kick the ball through the uprights. That's your job. I don't care if it's practice. I don't care if it's a preseason game. Like, Michael Badgley is not good enough to not be worried about practice and missing field goals in practice. And you could tell that Mike Vrabel and his answer about the kicking position yesterday did not seem overly enamored with Michael Badgley and the performance that he had. So I would not be surprised at all if they take a look around the league. You know, Paul Konarski was on with us this morning, and he laid out a few position battles at kicker throughout the league. Maybe the Titans take a look at that. Maybe they do look around at a Mason Crosby or a Ryan Succop or a Robbie Gould and decide to go that route. But I don't expect Michael Badgley to be the kicker by the time the regular season rolls around.
Yeah, we'll see. Robbie Stanley is with us. So I haven't had a chance to kind of get your opinion on whether or not Ryan Tannehill should take some snaps in the final preseason game. I'm of the belief that a series or two isn't going to hurt anything. And we've seen, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to play. We've seen Patrick Mahomes play. I mean, I look at those two guys and go, if they can, then why can't Tannehill? And once again, I think this is, you know, maybe Vrabel being a little too conservative when it comes to a starting quarterback. But where are you on that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the thought process behind it. Like, Mahomes has played. Rodgers is going to play this weekend. So I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if Tannehill got out there and played maybe a series or two. I don't have any interest in him playing much more than that, just because I think the injury risk at that point is just not worth the reward. Like, look, Ryan Tannehill, he got a whole lot of work done last week in the Minnesota joint practices. You know, he and DeAndre Hopkins apparently had a really good day yesterday. Like, he gets significant work in with the practice reps. At the end of the day, him throwing four or five passes in a preseason game, I really don't think matters a whole lot. So it doesn't bother me as much as it seems to bother a lot of Titans fans that he's not in there and playing in the preseason. It would be a shame if they played him and then all of a sudden he tweaks his knee because some lineman falls into him in a preseason game and he misses the first 6 weeks of the season. So it doesn't really bother me that Tannehill's not playing in the preseason. I understand that some other high-profile quarterbacks around the league have done it, and I do think with it being a new offense, maybe there's a little bit more validity to it this year than there has been the last couple of years, but it doesn't really bother me that he's not playing in the preseason.
Is 2023 NFL MVP Jordan Love, has he been playing in the preseason?
Oh, he's been playing, baby. He's playing in the preseason finale, too, and let me tell you this, he looks good. The NFL's not ready.
So are you really buying this, that this is going to work?
I don't know that I'm completely there yet. I do think that people are writing them off because they expect the Packers to be terrible because Rodgers is gone and Love is coming in. And I think there will be some growing pains. He's obviously not Aaron Rodgers, so it's a step down at quarterback. There's no question about that. But, I mean, he's been sitting for 3 years. Like, he's had some playing time in the preseason. He's had a couple of regular season appearances at this point. And he's got a lot of really good tools at his disposal. So, like, I'm not sitting here saying that the Packers have found, like, their next Hall of Fame quarterback, but I do think he's going to be a little bit better than people think he's going to be this year.
Robbie Stanley is with us. So how concerned are you about the receiver position with the injuries that are mounting up for the Titans?
Well, I'm especially concerned for week one and the first few weeks of the year, Chase, just because, I mean, you brought up their schedule earlier, and it's a very, I think, navigable schedule if you're the Titans. But the first few weeks, I think, are the toughest, like the first 6 weeks when NPF is out and before that bye week after they come back from London are the toughest parts of their schedule, and you need your receivers to be healthy. So I'm hoping that Treylon Burks is ready to go, hopefully week one, if not week two. I mean, it doesn't look like Kyle Phillips, if the six-week timeline in that range is right, then look like he's going to be ready until at least week three or four. So you're already behind the eight ball there. You know, Hopkins at this point has been healthy and available all camp, but he's had some injury problems the last couple of years, including, you know, a PED suspension that didn't have anything to do with injuries, but you know, he's had a hamstring, he's had a knee, so that's something to monitor as he's on the other side of 30 now. So I am concerned. You know, Treylon Burks, I think, is poised to have a big season. Everybody's raving about him, the work he did in the spring, what he's done so far in training camp, but I think it's fair to wonder, can Treylon Burks stay healthy throughout the course of the season? Certainly with Kyle Phillips, I think it's beyond fair to wonder whether or not he can stay healthy throughout the course of the regular season. And I don't think this Titans offense is deep enough or good enough to sustain losses to Burks and Phillips for a long period of time. So I'm concerned about it, and I would put DeAndre Hopkins in bubble wrap for the next week and a half to make sure he's healthy and ready to go by the time the Saints game comes around.
Well, and I'll tell you that the other side that, like, I'm really excited about, but I'm also concerned because of the depth, like you just mentioned with the offense, is the defense, really, as a whole. I mean, the fact that Harold Landry's back, Jeffrey Simmons healthy and just, you know, pissed off for greatness, Tyrre Tart. I think if they can all stay healthy, this defense is going to be pretty good. But behind them, I'm unsure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think especially you look at the secondary, right? Because Christian Fulton has a history of injuries. Elijah Molden has a history of injuries. Imani Hooker, who we don't talk about as much, but he was hurt for a large portion of last year. So, you know, if one or multiple of those guys go down, your depth takes a big hit at that point in the secondary. You know, at pass rusher, I think Arden Key is going to be really good. He's been durable to this point. Harold Landry, outside of the torn ACL, I mean, all we talked about before the ACL injury was how durable he was. So, you know, if he's feeling good, like he says he is, hopefully, you know, that's something that's in the past and you don't have to worry about it. But I do wonder, a guy like Caleb Murphy, I think has been really impressive so far in the preseason. And I know he played a really low level of college football. But when you have 25 and a half sacks in one season, that gets my attention. He's got three so far in two games in the preseason. And I wonder if he's made a strong enough case at this point to make the roster, and if not, can he do it this week on Friday in the preseason game? Because it would be nice to have a bit of a rotation beyond Landry and Key at pass rusher. And I know they've got Rashad Weaver, and he played some big snaps last year. But if you could get a rotation and keep guys fresh, rushing the passer, it would be good to see whether or not Caleb Murphy can carve out a role for himself there. So I think some important things to watch this week on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, the battle at inside linebacker. Can Elijah Molden get back in the fold? You know, he missed the practice last week, missed the game on Saturday. And can Caleb Murphy continue to turn heads? Because he's been maybe the most intriguing guy beyond the starters on defense to me all preseason long.
Real quick, Robbie, before we let you go, when the Colts open their season against the Jags, a division game, is Jonathan Taylor their running back?
I don't believe that he is. I'm not convinced he'll be traded by that point, but I also don't think they'll suit him up. I think that relationship is beyond repair, and I think he's on his way out. It's just a matter of time.
Yep, I too agree with you. Thanks as always, Rob. We'll be listening tomorrow starting at 6. You and Junie Riddle tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Robbie Stanley here with us on the show. Appreciate him. And again, check he and Joe Rexroad out 6 to 9 weekdays. On 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We will discuss the Jonathan Taylor situation, the latest with that. Tim Hasselbeck was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday and gave his thoughts on that. Will he still be with the Colts, especially when the Titans play the Colts for the first time? We'll discuss that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What percentage chance would you give it that Jonathan Taylor is in a Colts uniform this season?
I would say that he's on their roster 100%. That he's in a Colts uniform, I think could get a little interesting. You know, he's coming off I think he's coming off the ankle injury. You know, how healthy and how soon he's ready. you know, that becomes his leverage, right? I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys that are, you know, they're not holding out, they're holding in, and they're just, you know, got a little soreness in that hamstring. And, you know, eventually that can push a team to being so upset about it that they're just like, look, we're done with you and we're going to move on and see what we can get for you and do it that way. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but I don't know the team that's going to be like, yeah, here's our first rounder and we're going to make him the highest paid running back. I just, especially when, and the Colts have to accept whatever the compensation is. I don't see that happening, which is why I think he remains a Colt.
Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Back here, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Tim, as always, must listen to radio. You can check that out on thegamenashville.com if you miss him. Usually noon on Tuesdays on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. So, I think that's an interesting way to put it, because I don't think he's going to play a game for the Colts again. I think he's played his last game in a Colts uniform. But if you listen to Tim, because of, you know, a lot of different factors, he's probably going to still be a Colt, but he's not going to play. And that could very well be the case with the way that this situation is going. It's messy. It's on all of them. I mean, Jim Irsay is Jim Irsay. You know, I sit here and I, you know, complain about Vrabel and some of the things he does. I like Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel's a good head coach. I don't agree with everything that he does, you know, clearly with kickers. But Jim Irsay, I think, is just a bumbling idiot, you know, and he's trying to, how do I say this without making it a pun? Whatever. He's lucked into, you know, having franchise quarterbacks like Peyton Manning and then, of course, Andrew Luck. And therefore, he's been able to win, but he's just, you know, fumbles and bumbles most situations, and he's done that because he can't shut up, you know. You know, I've sat here before and I've said, you know, there's been certain situations like when John Robinson got fired, I wanted to hear more from Amy Adams Strunk. You know, I think there are times where she could talk more, and I, you know, it's a process with that. And then you got owners like Jim Irsay that won't shut up, that you don't want to hear from. So, you know, I think he's fumbled and bumbled this situation. I think Jonathan Taylor's agent has fumbled and bumbled this situation, and that's why they find themselves in this position. So what exactly is going to happen? Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN, talked about potential suitors for Taylor.
I think you look at teams that have kind of poked around on that running back market in the later portion of this summer, and that includes teams like the Miami Dolphins and the Minnesota Vikings. I think you look at teams where a playmaker like Jonathan Taylor could maybe make a difference and push a team from contender status to possibly championship status in places like Baltimore or Buffalo. You know, Buffalo hasn't really prioritized the running back position under the current administration, but, you know, it's going to take somebody to decide that this guy is the missing piece for their championship run, right? Like, this is the guy that they need that really elevates them beyond where they already are. And, you know, in terms of what Tim's talking about for the extension, you do a 3 or 4 year extension that gets him to that age 28 when the running backs tend to start to tail off a little bit. Maybe it makes some sense.
Okay, but is anyone actually going to give up what the Colts are going to want for them to do it? I mean, the reports are they want a first-round pick, and I just don't think you're going to get a first-round pick for a running back. I mean, Christian McCaffrey got a haul, but it wasn't a first-round pick. So, I don't know. And Damian Woody, also an analyst for ESPN, doesn't think that many will trade for Taylor.
You're going to hear teams like, you know, maybe the Miami Dolphins, Minnesota Vikings, maybe the Buffalo Bills, but I have a hard time really thinking of any team, to be quite honest with you, when you think of this whole situation up in Indianapolis. We heard Colts owner Jim Irsay kind of talk out both sides of his mouth, saying that if himself and Jonathan Taylor weren't around, the NFL would just continue on like nothing is going on. But in the same vein, he's talking about he wants a first-round pick for Jonathan Taylor or some type of compensation that equates to a first-round pick. Okay? We had, in this offseason, Saquon Barkley, you know, Josh Jacobs, neither one of those guys got a deal So if you're going to trade for Jonathan Taylor, not only do you have to have the compensation, but you also have to pay them. Who's going to do that in this running back market right now?
That was Damian Woody of ESPN talking about that. So, I mean, that's where I think they're going to run into a problem is that, you know, there might be interest, but it's also the price, you know, that and look, Indy, from Chris Ballard's point of view, he wants to look at it as, okay, I want to get the best I can, you know, in return, but you're probably not going to get that. Indy Ben says reportedly there is interest out there where Indy could get a few day two draft picks. Look, Indy Ben, I'll tell you this. If that's what ends up happening and you get a second and a third or a second and a fourth or something like that for him, then that's a win in my book. And I don't know how you pull that off, but that would be a win if that ultimately is what happens. Elliot says if they get a fourth, they'll be lucky. If I were a GM, I would just wait for a release. That's probably what's going to end up happening. They're going to have to release him. And that's where this will end up going. 615-737-1025 is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Thanks for weighing in. Coming up next, how should the Titans handle the quarterback position in the final preseason game on Friday? We will discuss that next here on 1025-1063 The Game.